My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to Character Concerns podcast turn radio show. Jay Binkley with Cruz Sinocero. Nick Schwartz will join us for the podcast back on Tuesday. Julio Sanchez producing the operation, spinning the music. This is almost like Club 610 that Cody Gold do at 1 o'clock on Fridays.
This is better.
It's kind of Club 610.
You know, we're going to do that. We need to turn off the one of the set of lights so we just have the spotlights on
Cody's
us here in the studio.
He's got a disco ball, I think.
I don't want a disco ball. That's not the kind of club I want to go to. But yeah, we get some strobe lights in here. We gotta get a fog machine too.
I like that.
Get a fog machine. Like, yeah.
I mean, Bink's already got the beer.
Yeah, so. we have a DJ spinning up there, and you don't have to play music.
DJ who?
If you have a sports bar,
I don't know.
You know,
my dad DJs. I could talk to him.
Bring your dad.
No, I'm DJ who.
That's your DJ who?
That's my DJ name.
That's your DJ name?
That's right.
Well, speaking of Kansas City, you know there's going to be a lot of people in the sports bars, I hope, for the draft.
Yeah.
Or down at the draft or sports bars near the draft. We did both that night. We'll be at Center Block on Friday. Hope to see you there. But you got to play the audio, man. We need the whether you show NFL Network, ESPN, whatever.
Yeah, don't play your music.
You got to have the audio that night. That's why people are there, to hear the picks.
Yeah.
No, I know the Chiefs are picking 31st, but you don't know. They may trade up. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Play the audio.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully Cinderblock has it on Friday night, and they got it nice and loud. Hopefully it doesn't go over the air. And we can enjoy the draft in all of its spectacle watching it in the corner there.
I'll never forget. I was working here when they took Eric Fisher. And my responsibility.
The most unexciting pick they've ever had.
My responsibility was to be at the draft party that night. Yeah,
you were out at Arrowhead that. Yeah.
And I did something earlier. We went on with the. It was when Fanny was over at KCTV 5 and all that. It was a full draft room, but they picked first. And everybody just left. It's good for draft parties when you're like the bars and stuff and restaurants in Kansas City. It is good they're picking 31st. At least keep people there. Hopefully,
if they were picking a position that was more exciting, maybe those people would have stayed. They're like, yeah, you know, we got a receiver, we got a quarterback. But you took a left tackle.
But to be fair, that draft was one of the worst drafts. It was an awful draft. Like the last 15 years.
Lane Johnson was in it.
They finally put it up on YouTube last week.
The worst.
And I was rewatching, and I was like, oh, this is awful.
It was painful.
It was such a bad draft. Like,
I would like to go back and look at the mocks from that one.
No, they were bad, dude. They were bad. Like, three of the first four picks were offensive tackles. That's how you know it's a bad draft. When three of the first four picks are offensive tackles. It was horrendously bad.
But keep this in mind. Don't fall totally in love with picks and say that's the end-all be-all. Nobody knows the answers. Nobody knows the answers because guys become flops in this league faster than anything. And first-round flops happen all the time. Look at the quarterbacks that are selling car insurance now and not playing quarterback in the NFL because of bad luck week in and week out. But think about this. You know, even Mahomes getting the grades of C- and whatever where people didn't exactly like the pick. This is what happens. you know, GMs are judged on. You cannot judge anybody until, well, usually you need a couple years to do it, but I think you can look back at the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl and had four rookies playing in that Super Bowl game. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Probably
draft.
About half of the guys that we watch get drafted in 2 weeks will not pan out in the first round. Half of those guys won't pan out. And then some of those guys will be, they're all right. And then there's going to be a few hits. Like, that's one thing you have to remember about the draft. It's a crapshoot. There are so many guys that you hear get their names called on the second and third days that are going to be way better than a lot of the pundits believe they will be. We're going to be wrong about a lot of people in this draft.
Make your own mind up. For example, Mahomes, USA Today, C-. Calling Mahomes a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL. And honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This was a risky pick. USA Today, C- for the Chiefs at Mahomes. Again, a lot of the stuff is trash.
Yeah, I mean, guy, we're going to get stuff wrong. Everyone gets stuff wrong about this stuff, so take it with a grain of salt. We're just predicting things that are really hard to predict. It just is what it is. So that's the reason why, like, we have to understand that most of these guys that are coming in this draft probably are not going to pan out.
But if you really like somebody, just stand by it. That's one of my hard
things
to do. If
you believe it, last couple stick
blocks,
to your guns.
Well, we stick to a lot of the same guys if we can, if they're still available.
Yeah, obviously.
You stick to the same guys. So Thor Nystrom that joined us earlier from Fantasy Pros, he's got the second round is where the tight ends really start adding up. He had Michael Mayer from the Notre Dame going to the Chargers at 21, but he really started the run in the second round because he had Darnell Washington from Georgia going at 38. You're looking at Luke Musgrave, very good tight end at Oregon State, going 45. And then here comes the tight end, Sam Laporta out of Iowa. That's getting a lot of run. A lot of people like Sam. I like Sam, but Tucker Kraft also in the second round from South Dakota State. He's my favorite over those guys. But is this going to be your – again, you start reaching after five or six of them. So you talk about deep class. There's really about five or six, we'd say, impact tight ends at this point. But out of those five or six, they're good tight ends, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good tight ends in this draft class. And here's the biggest thing for me is not so much like the production and whatnot. Because, like, I mean, let's be honest here. At the collegiate level, most tight ends do not produce that much because it's not a – most of those guys are there to be blockers and to catch a pass here and there, but you're not going to get a whole lot of high-volume tight ends. I mean, that's just not going to be the case. Like Darnell Washington, I know C-Dot was talking about him when he was on The Drive earlier today. That was his guy. Darnell Washington didn't produce a whole lot.
No, he did, but my caution is – the second best at a position.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Risky.
Like he's
like the, Ryan Sims came on the same line as Julius Peppers.
Yeah, he's the number two tight end on that Georgia team. So, but like the biggest thing though is like a lot of guys do not produce a ton at that position at college. So it very much is an eye test position. It's very much you watch the film, and if you have an eye for what teams are looking for in the measurables and whatnot, then you know what you're looking for.
And Laporta came out of Iowa, where there was one of the
tight end university. Yeah, and he was you know, he did well considering the fact that he didn't play with a bunch of great talent.
Said their offense was terrible.
Yeah, so
it's an understatement.
Yeah, and the quarterback was. I mean, you watch some of those throws that the quarterback was making to him, and they were not great throws. So, but it's. This is one of those classes, though, where you look at the athleticism and you look at the little bit of skills that they've shown in the times where they've gotten a chance to show it, and you see a lot of really good prospects here. So I think this is a year where you got to take advantage of the year that if you're the Chiefs, because the Chiefs do value the tight end position a lot more than most teams do. We saw it when they ran so much 12 and 13 personnel this year.
Number one offense in the NFL, the tight end leads the team.
Yep, they just value that position so much, and they treat their number one wide receiver, I mean number one tight end, like a wide receiver. So it's important that you go and get a guy who has the physical attributes to be able to play that same way.
Which is funny because since 2016, the number one player, regardless of tight end or wide receiver in yardage, is Travis Kelce. Number two, DeAndre Hopkins. And I know people want D-Hop. Then you'd have number one and number two since 2016.
I know, right? Yeah. If you were to go that route and have both those guys on the team, man, that's a scary combo.
D-Hop has the longest catch streak going with getting catches in games. Kelce, number two.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, this is the year you take advantage of that. And it's like, it's not like you're in a position where you need to take a tight end. I mean, you should definitely do it because Kelsey will be 34 in October. But this is it's not quite a luxury pick. It's more of, okay, we'll take him now because we know we're going to need him at some point. This is the year you go out there and you get ahead of what could be an issue. Yeah,
keep in mind, he's getting endorsements now. He hosts a Saturday Night Live. He's doing a commercial with Aaron Judge now. I mean,
he's having a concert here in a couple weeks. So yeah, he's out here doing it big.
You never know, man.
You just
he's
never
got
know.
Two rings. He's already the best ever to play.
He's living his right now. Kelsey is living his best life, and I don't foresee him leaving this team for at least another couple years or so.
It for
2-3 years.
That he's playing every.
But you
week.
Don't want to take for granted because you know. I mean, we know how this is. I know that
the
trainer.
Chiefs are always thinking of him.
Yeah, that trainer Tony Gonzalez. He played till he's 37. You don't want to take for granted that Kelsey's going to play till he's 37. So you just got to get ahead just in case.
Got to get ahead of the ball game. So we'll take a look at the quarterback. Speaking of overrated, underrated, I do think this is fun. We'll step back here and just look at fun because I do want to see five quarterbacks go in the first round. Like, I'd like to see him.
I would love that, yeah.
I would actually like, unlike Thor here, I would actually like to see the tight end
run. I'd like to see Aiden O'Connell go in the first round,
I want to see the tight end run actually start in the second. Because when the Chiefs pick 31st, you take the five quarterbacks, you're picking 26th. Then you take a couple tight ends, they're 24th. And there's at least three cornerbacks going with Witherspoon.
I want Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs to go in the first two.
And then you want Bijan going, you want this. So all of a sudden, the Chiefs are picking like 20th.
Yeah.
Because all these other positions taken, there's a run on something that they don't
want to take. I want a lot of positions I know the Chiefs aren't going to draft to be taken in front of the Chiefs.
But it's always fun to look back at quarterbacks and just how miserable. And it will happen this year, too. There will be bust, but who will they be? We'll play the bust game next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bink, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Character Concerns, the podcast turned radio show. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Nick will be back with us for a podcast on Tuesday. 2 weeks, Chris. 2 weeks.
It's flying by. I mean, this month in general, I mean, we're already almost to the midway point of the month. And it just feels like it literally just started a couple days ago.
It's been hotter than hell, so.
It has been. Yeah, I mean, I like this. I like this weather. T-shirt weather man.
I don't want to complain about it.
I mean, you can't complain 70. About it. You wear T-shirts and a short and shorts every
day.
You know
what? It fits in now.
Every day.
It fits in now, right?
During the winter.
No one's complaining about me wearing shorts and T-shirt. Nobody.
During the winter, T-shirt,
it's
shorts.
Normal. This is accepted attire.
So now it's normal. But yeah.
You know, I don't even think about it. It's weird. You know what's weird? When Bink wears pants. Are you wearing pants in the draft?
I've never seen him in a couple pants.
Weeks. Yeah, you have. You totally seen him wear pants.
I've never seen him wear pants.
100%.
Last time at Center Block, I wore pants. I will probably wear pants. I don't know.
Be yourself.
I don't think he's gonna wear pants.
I'm not gonna rock shorts.
And you know
pants.
What? You know what? I don't think you should wear pants.
I wore pants 3 times this year.
3 times?
Okay, when you can count on one hand how many times you've worn pants, that's an issue.
I don't think you're gonna wear pants, and I don't think you should wear
There's
pants.
Three things coming back. Pleats are coming back, whitey tidies, and
no,
everything comes back.
Tidy whiteys are not coming.
Everything comes back.
The braided belts. I got a braided belt. Tidy whiteys are not coming back.
They were never in.
Everything's come back.
They were never in. No, those are not coming back.
You got to let the boys hang.
No, you gotta.
You think pleats will come back?
No.
Oh, okay. Everything comes back, though.
Not everything.
Sure.
Not everything.
Not everything.
The neon shirts,
back.
Neon 1980s Miami Vice shirts are back.
Some people try to make them come back. That doesn't mean they actually come back.
Oh, look at the short shorts. Everybody went to the long shorts. Now everybody's wearing the short shorts. Well,
they're wearing them with tights underneath.
But it's short shorts now. Everybody's doing it.
And they're not that short.
You know what? Hey, go to the gym. They are. And you know what? I'm not doing it because long pants are coming back. And I expect these 17 draft picks that chose Kansas City to show up. They'll be making
He's going to come in
red
here.
Carpet and statement.
He's going to come in here with some JNCO jeans with some fire
say,
on the back.
He's going to
have a chain. He's going to have a chain on
he
the
looks
side.
Like a JNCO guy.
You know, it's a draft. I'm going to have to dress up.
What dressing up means wearing pants.
Dressing up is khaki shorts for him. That's dressing up for Bink.
Well, anyway, Chris, looking at four, maybe five quarterbacks taking the first round. I don't know who you like first. I like Bryce Young as the first quarterback. Where do you stand on that?
I like C.J. Stroud.
It moved him. So
I know that it's changed.
Both
I know
of them
that
will be here in Kansas City, by the way.
Yeah, I like C.J. Stroud here. I think there's
even
some
subterfuge. Even though Ohio State quarterbacks don't make it, except for Kirk Herbstreit, he's got a hell of a broadcasting career. But Justin Fields, who knows?
I think Fields will have a really good year this year. I think C.J. Stroud's going to be the best quarterback in this draft class.
Okay, so Will Levis will go in the first round. He's going to, because teams covet quarterbacks. I think that's going to be the one that doesn't
Somebody
work.
Will talk themselves into taking it.
And Hendon Hooker, that I think is better than him, will be in the first round. Anthony Richardson, for sure, will be probably a top four pick. So you look at it, Young, Stroud, and Anthony Richardson, probably his top four picks. Will Levis, probably anywhere from 15 to 20. And Hendon Hooker could get to the first round in the 20s.
Yep, he could.
And that's good for the Chiefs to have five quarterbacks.
Very good if Hendon Hooker goes there. That's another pick off the board that they're a guy they're not going to take. So that's awesome.
So who's going to be the bust out of this group? Because it's probably going to be three or four of them.
So I think for sure Will Levis is a bust. Just I watched that
you
man
can't
play
do mirror selfie,
I,
bro.
I watched that man play at Kentucky, and I was not impressed.
He's got 23 picks the last 2 years. His arms have grown exponentially.
I know.
He's working out.
He's out here lifting.
You can't do mirror selfies, man.
He out here grunting while he getting his swell on. I'm gonna tell you this. I just don't see it with Will. I watched him at Kentucky, and I especially after you saw the mocks where he was a potential first round quarterback. And I just saw nothing. I saw nothing in him. I was just like, yeah, he's big. He's got a strong arm. But there's nothing special. There's nothing special about him. Like, he's just big. And he, like, to me, he reminds me a lot of, like, what Blaine Gabbert was coming out of Mizzou, where it was like big body quarterback, great arm, or like a Josh Freeman. Big body quarterback, strong arm. He's got the measurables, but like you watch him play and you just don't, I don't like, I watch it and I don't feel like he ever had like command of the offense. And I just don't feel like there's anything like, I don't feel like there's any elite level of ability in him other than like at the collegiate level. And he wasn't elite at the collegiate level.
There will be bust. We know this. Let's look at the last 15. CBS Sports took a look at the last 15 years. Last year, one quarterback was taken in the first round. That was it. That's bad. That's bad news.
That's awful. That's an awful draft class for quarterbacks if one goes in the first.
It was Kenny Pickett in the first round. Go to 21, and we had five quarterbacks taken. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. Okay, out of this group, I mean, Trey Lance, complete incomplete because he hadn't really played.
We don't know.
Zach Wilson's bad. Justin Fields, again, it's kind of incomplete. We don't know. 100%. But he is the second-best quarterback out of this group, in my opinion. Mac Jones has run out of favor in New England. They're only talking about moving him. So that'd be pick number 14 probably available for a quarterback. But then Trevor Lawrence at one, and I think this was great because this was pandemic year, but he was the made man. He had already won a national title. He played in big games. Trevor Lawrence can be something special. But again, you're looking at top five quarterbacks, and you have one guy that you say, can he join that pantheon of great quarterbacks in the AFC?
Yeah, it's not great. Another guy I'm not super keen on is Hendon Hooker either. Like, I feel like he's got the arm, like, he's got the arm strength. He's got the body, teams like, all he did was just chuck the ball down the field to Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman when he was healthy. That's it. He just chucked the ball down the field.
I like him better than Levis, though. I like him better than Levis.
I like Levis a little better. I'd like him a lot more if he wasn't taking all the selfies, the bathroom selfies. I don't like the bathroom selfies. It just doesn't look good. But, like,
I don't want my quarterback that ripped either.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't either. I'm just not super high on Hendon Hooker either. Guys like him, I just don't see them succeed.
Let's go to 2020, Chris. Joe.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. All right, I know Tua's getting some run, and it's kind of incomplete as far as his grade. CBS has him. Jordan Love, we don't know yet. We saw him play against the Chiefs. We saw his mom sitting way up top in the stands. I don't think Jordan Love is going to guide the Packers to anything. Joe Burrow is a certifiable home run. I think he's the best quarterback in football behind Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert's good. We know he's good. He did have some – there were some character things, not bad, but just what kind of leadership he was, what kind of leader that he was.
Yeah, he's fine. He's great.
But that's not bad quarterback class with Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love.
I wasn't a fan of Tua. I still am not a fan of Tua. Honestly,
I'm not either. They make way too many excuses for
him. To me, he was always one of those guys that, you know, he had so much talent around him. It was so hard to fail.
And that playing in the snow is dumb.
Yeah.
He said he did it in Maryland with his brother.
It was a stupid quote. It was a dumb quote. But, like, all he had to do was just throw slant routes to his receivers, and they just take it to the house. Like, that's not a whole lot of work. Like,
before 2019, Kyler Murray. That's not turned out so well. He started off hot last year.
I mean, he's got the talent.
Daniel Jones.
He just ain't put in the work.
R.I.P. Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, man. Yeah, R.I.P. to Dwayne Haskins. Daniel Jones is so overpaid. So overpaid. He got $40 million a year, and he basically had 2010 Matt Castle numbers this past season, and he got paid, and not even quite as good, because Matt Castle, I think, in 2010 had, what, 25 touchdowns? And he only had 15 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, and that man got $40 million a year. Matt Castle was probably pissed at the kind of money that Daniel Jones just got from the Giants.
2018, number one overall, Baker Mayfield. Number three, Sam Darnold. Number seven, Josh Allen. Number 10, Josh Rosen. Number 32, Lamar Jackson. You could say, all right, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have made it. Lamar's been an MVP. Then you got Josh Allen with the Bills. But you're throwing in Josh Rosen. You're throwing in Sam Darnold. And then Baker, we don't know what the hell Baker
we'll
is
see
at this point.
I wasn't too high on Baker. I thought he was a little overrated. I was high on Rosen. I liked Rosen. I was really wrong on that dude. I was a big fan of Josh Allen, though. To me, he was the best quarterback in that draft class.
I was a big Lamar guy.
Me too.
This year,
me too. But
the year he won the Heisman at Louisville, he was actually better the next year.
Yeah.
At Louisville.
Yeah.
Than he was the year he won the Heisman.
He was great. And I was like, when the Ravens traded back into the first round to go get him, I was like, dude, that might be the steal of the draft. But I was super high on Josh Allen because he had everything you wanted. And I really liked Josh Rosen. He had really good accuracy. He was too cocky. Like the cockiness really kind of ruined him.
He had a hot tub in his dorm room.
Yeah, I know. He was too cocky. He was too full of himself, and I think that ruined him. Did not like Darnold. Did not like Mayfield.
But the one thing that it kind of proved to us with Josh Rosen, that quarterbacks aren't set like they used to be.
No.
They used to put the contract. It was so suffocating for you. You couldn't really get out of it. But we've seen more and more teams jettison. Hey, it's not our quarterback. We'll go get another one. Take another throw at the dartboard. Because you got to have a quarterback. Like, you have to have – and that's the situation the Jets are in. That's a very, very talented roster. Yeah, it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to be in New York. But, again, what's his motivation level at this point? Because he's getting guaranteed money at this point. How much does he like football? Because he was going to, what, 90% retire when he went into his four-day home?
In his darkness retreat? One of the things that's interesting, and I was looking this up earlier this week, Sam Bradford, I think he was the last quarterback to get one of those gross-ass number one overall contracts that we saw. He got 6 years, $78 million on his first contract. Joe Burrow is about to enter his fourth season in the league. His rookie deal, 4 years, $36 million. When, you know, if they're obviously going, they're definitely going to exercise his fifth-year option.
2017, Trubisky, Mahomes, and Watson.
I know, right?
Well, Deshaun, before he got in trouble, he actually led the NFL in passing yards. He's actually beat Mahomes in the regular season, lost that big playoff game to him. Patrick Mahomes, by far and away, Watson was on that track, and he still can be on that track to be a good quarterback.
I don't know if I buy that. I think there's more things going on there with him.
And the Chiefs almost ended up with Watson instead of Mahomes.
Right, right. They almost did, but luckily they did not. Something's wrong with Watson. I don't think it's just rust. I think Stefanski gets fired during the season, and I don't think Watson's going to have a good year this year. I just don't see it.
In 2016, you had some good ones. Not really. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch were your first-round quarterback.
I hated this draft.
Jared's been to a Super Bowl. Jared's been serviceable.
Jared might actually have a good year with the Lions.
The Lions have a great offense, yeah. But that's the only serviceable quarterback in the first round. The thing is, there's no guarantee. 2015, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
That was bad, too. I actually thought both those guys were going to be really good, too.
2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater. Again, we're talking first-round quarterbacks here. 2013, the only first-round quarterback was E.J. Manuel. 2012, you had Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Weeden, so you did have some starting quality in that. Andrew Luck and Tannehill, RG3's career was cut a little bit too short. The year before that, 2011, you had Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. 2010, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow. 2009, Matthew Stafford, Mark Sanchez, Josh Freeman, obviously Matthew Stafford, the only good one out of there. The point being, it doesn't matter who you're taking in the first round, there is going to be 2 to 3 bust with quarterbacks.
Or all of them will bust. I think with the sheer number, I think I'm kind of leaning towards 5 going now. I do think Bryce Young and I do think C.J. Stroud are for sure, they'll be pretty good. I think Stroud more than Young. And, I mean, it just depends on where Richardson goes. I watched that man in Florida. For the 2 years he was playing there.
You're missing the spring
game. He actually played
there.
Yeah, I'm missing it now. I'm gonna watch it whenever they put it up on ESPN Plus or wherever they put it up at. And I'm so afraid for him because I don't want him to end up with like the Raiders and then next thing you know, he's throwing for like 150 yards a game and rushing for 70 yards a game and he never pans out because he is a terrible coach and terrible offensive coordinator.
And to round out 15 years, 2008, Matt Ryan, who has been an MVP, should have won a Super Bowl against the Patriots when he was up 28-3, and then Joe Flacco that's got a ring as well. That's the last 15 years of first-round.
I really wanted Matt Ryan for the Chiefs.
That's 15 years, but here's the thing. You never know what you're going to get with quarterbacks, but you got to have one. It's the important, you got to be right. And these guys put all their brain power behind it. They put their whole, they pick in a quarterback. They all go to Indianapolis. They all go watch their games. They talk to anybody and everybody surrounding the quarterback to figure it out. But it's such an inexact science, but just getting it right can change your whole city's complexion like the Kansas City Chiefs did with Mahomes.
Yeah, that's why I think you keep trying. If you miss, you keep trying until you actually hit on a quarterback.
Well, you know, there's going to be busts this year. It's the way it goes. And you say, well, there's not going to be busts this year. Actually, there's always going to be busts. And Josh Allen's one of those guys. He had a great – the year before, he was really good. Then his last year at Wyoming, he wasn't that great. He only really beat some non-conference teams that weren't good. But yet, it's turned into a serviceable NFL quarterback. Coming up next, though. NFL Network lays out who they think might be the Chiefs' first pick, plus kind of the Chiefs' strategy in the draft next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris.
Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing, Nick Schwartz back with us on Tuesday. By the way, big thanks to Justin Parrish, who puts out our mock drafts. We send him everything, and he puts it out for us, and that's a big help when we put our mock drafts.
Yeah, him and Nick do all the hard work here.
On the podcast.
And you do the work on the mock draft.
Yeah, we put the podcast out, or put the mock draft out with the podcast, and we appreciate those guys doing it. NFL Network's James Palmer, by the way, was talking about the Chiefs and who they would be looking at. And the guy they spotlighted was one Jalen Hyatt, who's been our first pick in both of our mock drafts. We're not buying the hype of dropping.
Well, if we're looking at general manager tendencies, this is one of Brett Veach to go after a position that he sees that he can fill immediately and go after that player. He's done it repeatedly. And we look at what they wanted to do with this group around Patrick Mahomes. They wanted to keep it together that they finished the season with. Juju Smith-Schuster got a price that they just weren't going to match. So we know they're going to add a wide receiver. A lot of people are looking at the veterans that would want to come and play with Patrick Mahomes. But I do think they look into the draft. And the speed that he has, Mark, is extremely remarkable. And it fits what they have around him in terms of all the different pass catchers. They lost speed each of the last 2 years with Tyreek Hill departing and now Mecole Hardman departing. This fits well with Travis Kelce, Sky Moore, and Kadarius Toney.
Someone's going to be good out of this class. Don't forget DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. Both those guys went in the second round. I mean, there are good receivers to be had at this point. I think that Jalen Hyatt would be my choice out of this group. There's no real surefire because you had the injury concerns with Jackson last year. Quentin Johnson, he drops the footballs. I mean, there's something. Zay Flowers, he's the one really climbing the charts. He's only 5'9", though, because he does so much in space.
Yeah. I mean, this is – I just think that this class is so interesting in that position because generally in these classes, there's one guy or maybe two guys that you're like, oh, we're really sure that's going to be a star. Like, for sure, like Ja'Marr Chase. That was a guy like we knew from get-go. Okay, he's going to be a star player.
That was one of the best picks. I remember sitting here the night with Kramer, and I was going back and forth. And, you know, they needed the line help bad.
They needed Sewell, bad.
But like, Ja'Marr Chase won a Biletnikoff with Joe Burrow. Don't forget, Justin Jefferson was number two receiver on that team.
I know, right? It was ridiculous.
And Clyde was on that team. He's a running back. But Ja'Marr Chase was so important to Joe Burrow. And when you united them together, you know, it's going to be a powerful battery.
Yeah, so, like, generally, there's at least one receiver that we're like, oh, that's a surefire star. But this year, like even like Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I think me and you are confident is going to be a star player in this league, still has some question marks. And I think that's what's so interesting about this class is like, I don't think we know who that guy is going to be. So I think it's really, it could very well be Zay Flowers. It could be Jalen Hyatt. It could be one of the guys in the second round, like Mingo or Mims. It's going to be so interesting seeing how this class plays out from the wide receiver position because there's a whole lot of unknowns. And there isn't that one guy that you look at and is like, definitely going to be a superstar in this league. Usually there's a guy like that every draft at that wide receiver position. But this year's full of guys. Like a lot of these guys are looked at as slot receivers at best. And that's really interesting to look at.
Well, you look at the top receivers last year in yardage. Number one, you had Justin Jefferson, who was in the first round, pick 22. But 22 was the highest these guys went. Tyreek Hill, sixth round pick. He was number two. Davante Adams was three. Was a second rounder. Fifth rounder. A.J. Brown, second rounder. Stephon Diggs, who finished fifth, was the fifth rounder.
I mean, A.J. and D.K. played together, right, at Mississippi. That's crazy how you had so much talent coming out of that school there. Like there are, it's just crazy seeing these guys go from the collegiate level. And there's a lot of guys that we see at that position at the collegiate level. And we're like, oh yeah, that surefire, that player's going to definitely make it in the NFL. And then they go there and something happens. Maybe they get injured a lot. Maybe they just don't quite develop their game. And next thing you know, they don't really quite pan out. I mean, I remember you watched the film. Like I said, I was rewatching the 2017 draft. John Ross got drafted the pick before Mahomes did at number 9 by the Bengals. And you watch his tape. John Ross looked uncoverable. He looked uncoverable.
Fastest guy ever at the combine.
Yeah, he looked uncoverable on his film when he was at Washington. And he could never stay healthy. Yeah, he is with the Chiefs now. Funny how that comes full circle. But like now you look at him and he's probably not going, like he may not make this the Chiefs this year. He might be out of league by now. It's crazy.
At number six, you got CeeDee Lamb, 17th pick in the first round. Jaylen Waddle is actually the highest pick. He's number seventh in yardage. He was the sixth overall pick that year. Travis Kelce in eighth. He was a third round pick. Devontae Smith, the first round pick. Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin went second round, didn't he?
Yeah,
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I think it was second or third round.
Third round. Actually, Terry McLaurin went in the third, and then Amon St. Brown. Amon Ross St. Brown.
Second round, he went in the fourth round. Fourth round.
Yeah, he went in the fourth round. Yeah. So what I'm saying is,
I remember seeing a lot of people mock him to the Chiefs.
It was a big-time mix. And as far as Jaxon Smith is, let's don't forget this. 2 years ago, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 95 catches, 1,606 yards, 16.9 per. Number two is Garrett Wilson, who finishes Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
70 for 1,058. Chris Olave, 65 for 936. And then you had Marvin Harrison Jr., 11 for 139. But it was Jaxon that was the best wide receiver of that group.
Yeah, I know. And that's going to be really interesting if he really comes in and he starts playing really well, like a lot of people think he will. I do think there's going to be some interesting talking points about that. And that'll certainly help Ohio State out of recruiting, knowing that you've got so many receivers that came out of that school in the NFL now playing really well. So, and then obviously Marvin Harrison Jr.'s, I think
he'll be the first receiver.
He'll probably be the first receiver next year, and he's probably going to be the surefire guy.
That's loaded because Brock Bowers is going to be in that class.
Oh, my God, he's so good. Yeah, and Bowers, too. Bowers is going to be
there. Caleb Williams is going to be there. So.
Oh, man, just bringing up all these names. Next year's draft class actually might be much better than this class.
Oh, and Drake May, the quarterback, North Carolina, is going to be there. This is going to be a great class. Coming up next, though, we'll take a look at what the Chiefs formula is, according to NFL Network.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My life be like,
back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley with Chris Sinocero. Nick Short joins us again Tuesday for the podcast. You can check them out at 610sports.com, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Julio Sanchez, the soon-to-be dad, Julio Sanchez, producing the
Papa operation. Julio over here.
You guys are just like growing up right in front of my eyes.
Well, we've been here forever, Bank. I don't know.
You guys have been.
We're, a few we're rodeos, old now.
We're all getting old.
True.
It's been a lot of drafts we've covered together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is my 10th. Yeah. I think my 10th or 11th draft. Yeah. I think it's my 11th, actually.
12th or 13th, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. It's my 11th draft since I started working here.
Of course, practice in St. Joe this year again, which is cool because now people can go celebrate the Chiefs Super Bowl.
I know, right?
Because last time they won it, they took away the training camp and moved it there.
Yeah, you know how much excitement is going to be in St. Joe in July and August.
Man, I want to see Midnight Madness. I want midnight to start practice. I want Midnight Madness to happen.
There's going
to
be a lot.
Would come.
There's going to be a lot of excitement here once we get to July and August, and guys start reporting, and you start to get those first practices out there with fans. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you think the drafts a lot of times would be fun if your team wasn't that good but was on the cusp and need one or two players and you're going to get them in the draft. But yet, here it is where the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. It's like you're on house money with their picks. It's almost more fun now than I ever imagined, because now when the picks don't make or break it, because you have the quarterback, you have the toughest position in the draft already taken care of.
I disagree. I think drafts are better when your team sucks, because you can at least fool yourself into thinking you got a chance. It's like, is this draft make or break for the Chiefs this year? No, it's not.
I disagree, though, because here's the thing. The other teams draft to stop the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are just drafting to...
I'm talking about for the fans. I'm not talking about for the teams.
I know, but it's funny.
I'm talking about for the fans.
But for the Chiefs, when they were drafting, a lot of times they're getting free agents, they were looking at the Patriots.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about the fans. From the fans' perspective, the draft is much more fun, much more hopeful when your team sucks. because
and that quarterback you just love.
Yes, I'm saying you could find that quarterback, or let's say you got a quarterback that you like, but you need some weapons.
But as we showed you last 15 years, it doesn't mean you're gonna get one.
Yeah, imagine being a fan of the Texans. Like your management sucks and everything, but let's say you get your quarterback. Let's say you get a wide receiver. Like you're be feeling a lot better. You'll be feeling a lot better about your team. 2 weeks from now, if you go out there and you get some guys in the first round that you really like, I think it's more fun when your team sucks because at least you have a much better chance of getting the best players in the draft. So I think there's some excitement there when you don't really have a whole lot of excitement. I remember those Chiefs drafts when they sucked, and it was a lot more fun when they were bad.
I think it's great because every pick matters. It's like when the Chiefs try to get more picks, trading Tyreek to get more picks because they had to go on the cheap route, and they had to be right.
Yes.
Because they needed guys that could step in and play as rookies. That's why you got rid of Rashad Fenton. You know, when he had the experience in the defensive back.
Yeah, because you knew you were going to be better without rookies. Him.
But
they
needed him. And they needed seventh round picks. Like this team, where the draft mattered for the Chiefs.
It mattered, but it didn't matter as much as it did for all the other teams picking way above them. There were a lot of teams that needed picks, players more than the Chiefs did.
Yeah, and at least you see with free agency what they need now at this point. And a lot of people know the Chiefs need a receiver, and they know that's what they're going to be going for. And anybody picking behind them knows the Chiefs are going to probably take the best receiver still available
at that point.
But always pay attention to where teams are and who you can move up and get. Here's what James Palmer on NFL Network said. The Chiefs' formula for success, taking care of Mahomes.
And they have double the picks that the Denver Broncos have. They have 10 selections in all in this draft. And we saw what they did with all of their rookies and the roles that they played in this last Super Bowl run that they had. But I do think what we have seen, once again, the formula that is in place in Kansas City. And Baldy's going to love this because we're talking offensive line again. Protecting Patrick Mahomes is what they do, and that's where they spend their money and where they spend their draft capital. You saw with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, the two probably biggest free agent signings that they have made at the very beginning of free agency with Brett Veach running the show there is Joe Tooney, who came in and they brought him in free agency, and he's changed that offensive line. And now they do it with Juwan Taylor, who is going to step in, and Andy Reid believes knows this system, knows the terminology, should hit the ground running. They look at the wide receiver position more towards the draft. Can they go get a Jalen Hyatt to be the speedster to go along with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, who they believe Toney should Baldy be their number one? They think they can do so many different things with him. And then Sky Moore takes another jump. But what we're seeing in the way things are built in Kansas City is if you protect Patrick Mahomes, he will make plays, and that's where the Chiefs are going to continue to make investments, Baldy.
Now it's time to get him some weapons. You know, man, when you look 2 years ago, when you have Creed Humphrey, your center for the future, when you look in the sixth round getting Trey Smith, Cornell Powell is on the practice squad, Noah Gray on that roster, Nick Bolton led your team in the history of the Chiefs in tackles. Of course, there's 17 games, but they hit on the picks, and even this last year they hit on their picks, and that's what makes teams sustain success worth it because you're not having to pay them. You're paying them sixth and seventh round money, and this, you're going to have to pay the piper, though. You're going to lose some free agents. You're going to lose some guys you like here in a couple of years.
Yeah, and that's why the draft is so important for the Chiefs, because when you get good, you also have to spend a lot more in important positions, and you got to make some tough decisions in free agency. We've seen the Chiefs over the years have to make some tough decisions. They had to do it this year again. Juan Thornhill is now playing in Cleveland. I don't think they really had to make much of a decision as far as McColl goes. He doesn't think they offered him a contract, and I don't either. He ends up in New York. I mean, the Chiefs had to make some tough decisions, but it makes the draft so much more important.
100%, that's the voice of Christian Ocero. Don't forget, our podcast comes out each and every Tuesday. And if you go to 610sports.com, each one of our mock drafts, we do 1.0, 1.5. We're on 2.0, 2.5
coming soon.
Pretty soon. And don't forget that Friday night of the draft, rounds 2 and 3, we'll be at Center Block, where I expect to see new father Julio Sanchez.
Not yet. He's soon to be new father.
Soon to be. That's what I said, soon to be.
No, you said new father.
How do I know? What if he's got other kids? We don't
know. He hasn't even had the baby shower yet.
I know. I need to go that. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We love the draft. I'm glad the draft's coming here to Kansas City. You're listening to Character Concerns. Good night, everybody.
Listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.